So we've been camped out in Psalm 23 for 9 weeks now, and there's one more to come. But I want you to think about this. God presents himself in Scripture as a shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for you." And the question for all of us is just simply this: am I one of his sheep? Have I come to realize there is only one Savior and his name is Jesus? Have I come to realize that regardless of how good of a life I'm living, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? We need a Savior. And as Linda mentioned, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But they need to believe and they need to hear. So I want to ask you this morning, it's not enough just to go to church. It's not enough to have Christian friends. You and I, we need to know that we've asked Jesus to be our Savior. And we've committed our life to him. To love him, to follow him, to obey him, to grow in our faith. So as we read Psalm 23, if you can say yes to those things, then your name could be written in this chapter. And if God speaks to your heart this morning and you realize, as good as all that sounds, I've really not accepted Jesus as my Savior, then I want to encourage you right now, don't let this service end without doing that. Amen. Let's read together Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen? Amen. So, looking at that last verse, last week I talked to you about God's goodness. This morning I want to talk with you about God's mercy. And next Sunday, I want to talk to you about God's home. Okay? So, God's mercy. Two words come to mind when I think of the word mercy. You may have others, but the two that come to mind for me, the first is forbearance, and the other is compassion. We have a God who is patient with us. He is forbearing. We have a God who over and over and over again gives us breaks that we don't deserve. We have a God, as Jeffrey was praying, he is waiting on us to say yes to him. Compassion. Someone who looks at us with eyes filled with kindness. Someone who looks at us with a willingness to help and to make a difference. And yet for all of us, the Bible says, like sheep, we've all gone astray. For all of us, we've got caught up in our own self-sufficiency. We've got caught up in our own agenda. We've got caught up in wanting to live life on our terms, our way. And it's just amazing to me that he continues to be kind. And he continues to want to help. I think about my life and how much God has had to put up with me. You may not feel that way about you. But where would we be if it wasn't for God's mercy? A man by the name of Jacob, he had just done life his way. A lot of people do life their way and it seems to turn out all right. For Jacob, that was not his story. He reached a place in his life where he was just done. He had been kind of at those low spots before, but he finally hit another spot that just seemed as low as he could go. And the only thought that he could think about was, I just want to take my life. I just want it to end now. He thought about different ways of doing it. But at this particular point in his life, he had no money. He was a little bit afraid. And so what he came up with was just this idea, I'm just going to find a park bench. And he knew where some were because he had been in those parks before. He said, I'm just going to find a park bench and I'm just going to go there and I'm just going to lay there until I die. You can live for about 3 days or so without water. You can live without food, believe it or not, for about 3 to 4 weeks. But Jacob just gives up and plants himself on this park bench. And a day goes by, he hasn't drank anything or ate anything. And another day goes by, he has not drank anything or ate anything. He's now into his third day. And realistically, he was getting closer to his end. And just at one moment, he happened to turn his head and just open his eyes. And he saw a teenage girl off in the distance with her friend walking into the park. And the question that crossed his mind was, why in the world would a teenage girl who looked so innocent, even angelic, why would she walk into a park like this where pretty much everyone is just a derelict? And he just closed his eyes. A few moments later, he hears someone speaking to him in a soft, kind voice. And he opens his eyes, and it's that teenager. He's bewildered. So many things are rolling through his head. He doesn't remember the last time in his life that he heard someone speak to him kindly. He was confused. He was intrigued. But it made him angry. And she's just there talking to him softly. And finally, he just growls, what do you want? This is what she says. Sir, I was afraid to come over here. But I feel like God is nudging me to tell you something before I get back on my bus. I wish I knew how to say it better. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He really does. When I was reading this story this week, happened to come across it, I thought about the people in our church that have went out on the streets of Austin. And we had a group that went yesterday. You don't know the difference that may make in a person's life forever. Jacob, he's hearing the words. But this is what Jacob is thinking about. He's thinking about all the heartaches he's been through. He's thinking about all the indignities he's suffered. And he's also thinking about all of this rage that he has inside because of what he's done to himself and what life has done to him. And he's got a person he's never met who's just a teenage girl looking at him, not getting upset, and him yelling at her and saying again, Jesus loves you. One of the times that I was out on a homeless outreach, and I've shared it with you before, but we thought it was a guy sleeping up under an overpass. And I took one of our little gifts and ran up there and was just going to lay it there, but decided to just go ahead and say a few words. And the person turned over. And I started talking a little more. And the person started moving around. And I realized it wasn't a guy, it was a woman. She began to set up. Tim came up. Others kind of came. We had a chance to pray with her. But it just, not every interaction went that way or goes that way. But this one happened. And as I read this story, it took me also back to my time on the street because I started tearing up. And that doesn't usually happen a lot. But just talking with that lady and seeing that lady and hearing her story, I started tearing up. She started tearing up. And that's what went on between Jacob and this particular teenager. But you know what he ended up saying back to her? No one could love me, child. It's too late for me. That teenage girl did the same thing I did that day. I reached out with this LSU hand. did I say that?
You did. You went out for it.
I reached out and took that lady's hand. And when she had moved around, I had seen her feet. Her toes and everything, all gnarled. Her hands weren't much better. And that little teenage girl took that man's hand, and I took that lady's hand. This is what she said next. No, it's not too late. God will gladly take you if only you let Him. Just tell Him that you want to. He will love you and help you. All of this is so simple that a child can understand. A teenager can tell the story. And here is a guy almost at the end of his life by his own choosing, and he's beginning to have one of these God moments because he's realizing this teenage girl is not here by accident. Somebody is speaking to me through her. And for any of us who have had any kind of a moment like this, it's incredible when you realize God is speaking through someone else to you. He's giving you a God moment and it saved his soul and turned his life around. God's mercy, his forbearance, his compassion. There's a verse in Lamentations. You may or may not know it. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." Those words just spring off the page sometimes. But when you understand the story, this is the prophet Jeremiah. He had been preaching and teaching. He had a message from God that he was sharing with anyone and everyone who would listen. But they wouldn't listen. And his entire nation, the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, they were now in captivity by the Babylonians. And this was God's punishment, God's correction in their life. In the book of Lamentations, it follows his book of Jeremiah. And think about someone who has poured their life into trying to get people to look to God and to go God's way, only to see them not listen and to keep going their way. And then everything that he had been told to say was coming to pass. They're in captivity. And here's a prophet. Lamentations. Mourning and weeping. Lamentations. Unimaginable grief. Lamentations. That same verse, there's a couple of verses in there. You read them in a different translation, and they read like this: "The Lord's kindness never fails. If he had not been merciful, we would have been destroyed. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning." We woke up this morning because of God's mercy. If we make it through another day, it will be because of God's mercy. If we can lay down tonight and put our head on a pillow and drop off to sleep, it is because of God's mercy. God help us to not take his mercy for granted. Let me show you another verse. Matthew 5:7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Do you want more mercy in your life? There's two things we need to think about. The first one is so true. It's God's goodness. Day in and day out, he shows his goodness by extending mercy to us. But there's something else in play. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." The Bible has a teaching that's found in Galatians chapter 6, the law of sowing and reaping. It connects so well with the golden rule found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Do you realize that by choosing to be merciful, you can activate and you can bring into your life more mercy than you would receive otherwise? Just ponder that thought for a moment. God is always showing us mercy, whether we understand it, realize it, appreciate it, or not. But if we want more mercy in our lives, there's something that we can participate in, and it's that law of sowing and reaping. We can be that person who will choose to be merciful, just like our Heavenly Father. And if we do that, God's going to make sure that more mercy is going to come our way. So I started exploring this a little bit. I started doing a lot of that Googling you can do online and seeing what other thoughts and ideas and information is out there. I came across a guy had never heard his name before. And then I really kind of laughed when I realized he is the chief of staff for Rick Warren. And I thought, that's a pretty big operation. And this guy had just simply a list of ways to show mercy. And I started reading through that list, and man, my mind was just exploding with thoughts and ideas. And it's like, okay, I want to share this with you. Ways to be merciful. Here's the first one. Be patient with people's quirks. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear a help me Jesus?
Help me Jesus.
Okay, so a Swiss-born British philosopher and author, he has this to say. Laughter is an important part of a good relationship. It's an immense achievement when you can move from thinking that your partner is merely an idiot to thinking that they are wonderfully complex, that they are that wonderfully complex thing called a lovable idiot. And often that means having a little bit of a sense of humor about their flaws. Now just look around at somebody and say, but you seem so flawless. And then look back at that same person and say, I'm just kidding. I felt led of the Lord to say to you this morning that all of us have irritating peculiarities, mannerisms, and idiosyncrasies. All of us. And I felt led of the Lord to say to you this morning that all of us need to learn how to not take ourselves so seriously, and we need to learn how to laugh at ourselves while everybody else is laughing at us. Be patient with people's quirks. Secondly, help anyone around you who is hurting. Two thoughts here. If you're really going to help, you'll need time, you'll need means, and you'll need opportunity. We can't do everything for everybody. But more times than not, we can do something for somebody that we sometimes choose not to do. And I get that. I've lived long enough now to come to understand a really big word that's very important in life: enabling. We have to get to an understanding where we know and we're confident in just holding our ground. We are not helping someone if we are doing for them what they should be doing for themselves. Your heart might be in the right place, your effort may be sincere, but what you do will be counterproductive. And you say, well, how can you know it's not working? Because they're not changing. They're not changing. You don't do for others what they should be doing for themselves, and you don't remove the consequences of bad behavior. So we have to get comfortable with this tension. Wrestling with some things we don't always understand. Mercy and personal responsibility. We don't always have all the information we need to be able to determine, is it mercy? Is it enabling? Does it fall into the camp of personal responsibility? I would say to all of us, at least in the short term, God help us to err on the side of mercy. Err on the side of grace. Err on the side of love. And it might be that for all of us, sometimes we don't do that enough. But for all of us, folks, we need to keep in mind what God has said. Galatians 6:10, therefore, do good to all people. James 4:17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Let me give you a third one. Give people a second chance. Give people a second chance. I love the story in the Bible. It's about Mark. Paul and Barnabas were so impressed by him. They said, come along, come with us. We got a missionary journey we're going on. We think you'll make a difference. Come be our co-worker. And Mark takes off with them. They finish that mission. A little later on, Paul and Barnabas decide they want to go again. And Barnabas says, let's bring Mark along with us again. And Paul says, you're out of your mind. No way. As you recall, he went with us last time. And catch this. The story as it's told in Acts, he says, Mark deserted us. He didn't even finish. He just quit and dropped out. There's that tension. There's that struggle. Barnabas is actually saying, but we need to take him. And Paul says, not a chance. And these two men who had been companions and had done successful work together actually split because of their disagreement about what to do with Mark. Barnabas took Mark, Paul took Silas, and two teams went out. Here's the rest of the story. The last letter that Paul writes while he's waiting to die is 2 Timothy, and he writes these words to Timothy. Do your best to come to me quickly. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. How many of us blew it the first time, but we made good on that second time? Give others second chances. Let's try this one on for size. Do good to those who hurt you. That is so unnatural. Do good? Can I just avoid them? Can I hurt them and ask for forgiveness?
No.
Do good to those who hurt you. Reading out of the book of Matthew. What reward do you deserve if you only love the lovable? Don't even the tax collectors do that. How are you any different from others if you limit your kindness only to your friends? Don't even the ungodly do that? Since you are children of a perfect Father in heaven, you are to be perfect like Him. Now that word that's translated perfect there, it doesn't mean totally blameless, but it carries these ideas for us. Be whole. Be complete. Be mature. Be well-rounded. And it's not talking about our body shape there, okay? We are in our personal and spiritual immaturity when we're unable to do good to those who hurt us. Another one. Build bridges of love to the unpopular. Day in and day out, we see people that, from all we can tell, no one wants to be their friend, and they're basically an outcast. We could be on mission for God if we would just come alongside them, ask how they're doing, listen to their story. Build bridges of love to the unpopular. Be kind to those who offend you. That's a tall order too, isn't it? Those who offend you, let's just see if we can come up with a list. Are there any politicians that come to mind that offend you? Are there any comedians you've ever heard that offended you? Any athletes who no longer can play for the Oakland Raiders that offend you? Any entertainers that take it too far. Any neighbors that you don't see eye to eye with. Any church members that you like to sit in a different section than. It's like, not our church! Let's bring it on home a little bit more. Maybe it's a Facebook friend. And we use friend loosely there. But maybe it's a Facebook friend who's always posting things that offend you. Maybe it's a Facebook friend that is always posting things that are not accurate. God help America, right? Be kind to those who offend you. You say, do I have to? Well, it all depends on whether or not you want to follow Christ. Because in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 it says, since God chose you to be His holy people, the people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I got one more for you. Okay? Value relationships over rules. Everyone we see is someone for whom Christ has died. And trust me, the overwhelming majority of people in this world are not living for God. And for all of those who think that they are, and they can turn their nose up at everyone else who isn't, they probably need to hit rewind on this sermon. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is not saying we don't have standards. It's just simply saying, folks, we all need to come to Christ and we all need to grow in Christ. This is something that I read. Rachel Simmons. She's an author. Back in 2002, she wrote a book, Odd Girl Out, The Hidden Culture of Aggression in Girls. Check out her quote. A healthy friendship is one where you share your true feelings without fearing the end of the relationship. It's also one where you sometimes have to let things that bug you slide. The tough moments will make you wiser about yourself and each other. They will also make you stronger and closer as friends. I want to say to you, you can have falling outs with people for all kinds of reasons. But sometimes with just a little bit of effort, you can mend fences. I'm looking at Linda. Yeah. Hold on, Linda. Hold on, Linda. So I'm here in Austin, pastoring Bethel. The way God worked things out, Linda ends up showing up at Bethel. Had been years. Had seen her and known her in Bible college. We become friends. Her kids become like best friends with my kids. And life is just rocking on. We did so many fun things together. And then all of a sudden, Linda got stupid. I couldn't believe it myself. We had probably as hard of a falling out as anybody I've had a falling out with. And God put me in a situation where I was with a mutual friend. And we got to talking about Linda. And he said to me, just give her a call. And my first reaction was like, you got to be kidding. But we were laughing. And all three of our families had had a lot of good times together. And we were reminiscing about all those good times, all those crazy stories we'd shared, the way we laughed about each other and each other had laughed about us. And he said again, give her a call. And this was a number of years ago, folks. And we're riding in the vehicle and I call Linda. And that was all it took. All it took. Do you know that the Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And look at us now. I get to tell stories about her in church. I'm going to be in a world of hurt when she gets back up in October. But Linda, every time I see you, you are a reminder to me of the value in giving God a chance and giving relationships a chance, even when they go off the rails. And I want to thank you publicly for how many years and in how many ways you've been a great, great friend to me and my family. I want to show you two more quotes and a prayer and we'll wrap it up. Take a look at this. Thomas Merton. The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them. Miranda Kerr. I think for any relationship to be successful, there needs to be loving communication, appreciation, and understanding. I don't even remember how many, maybe years, or what that time distance was between us for a while. But it only took one phone call for communication, one phone call for appreciation, one phone call for understanding. Now, I've tried that in other situations and it didn't go anywhere. But for all of those singular ones that do, you'll never regret it and you'll be walking in the light that God's given us. So here's the prayer. I want you to read it with me and then we're going to just leave it up on the screen and I want to give you some time to pray about it. Let's read. Heavenly Father, your word convicts me. I want your blessing on my life, and I want to be a merciful person. As I look at these seven things, I think of shortcomings and weaknesses in my own life. I pray that rather than just hearing the word, I would do something about it. Give me the courage to be merciful. Give me the strength this week to step out in faith and do radical, premeditated acts of mercy that point others to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.